Amen. We need somebody to stand by us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we want to look at this scripture. Let us stand and read from the scriptures. Amen. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 17. Raise your Bible, review, and say these words. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Amen. Amen. The Bible says in Genesis, let me pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I just pray for guidance and pray that what you want said will be said and done will be done. And we ask for mercy and guidance. And we ask your presence be known, and that no one leaves lost. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says, Genesis chapter 4, verse 17, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Let us read that together, please. Amen. Amen. We're going to be dealing with this. We've been dealing with Christian accountability, raising Cain, and this is in flaws in all campaign. Amen. It's what it is. We have a flaws in all campaign because of the fact that God uses people, flaws and all. And so this morning we must recognize that because he is the one who is the one making the difference, and we want us to embrace that reality, and we're going to deal with the challenge, the covering, and the contributions of Cain. And so this morning, that is what we will be dealing with. Flaws in all campaign. Can everybody say flaws in all campaign?
Flaws in all campaign.
One more time.
Flaws in all.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. That is the only kind of campaign that God is on. Amen. Mama said to me that there's some good in everybody. But what I want to add to that this morning is that there is good and bad in everybody. There is good and evil, both, in everybody. And there's nothing we can do about it. I think we must recognize this to deal with people. There's some good in everybody, there's some bad in everybody. And there is nothing that we can do about it. There's nothing that can be done about it. We don't always expect it. We do all have to accept it. And we have to accept us. Amen. We have to accept us. And if you're not careful in your mind, you just won't expect people to have bad in them. You may not expect them to have good in them. You wish they would be one or either or. But the reality is that they are both. There's both in each. And this is critical if we're going to live life and deal with people. And nothing can be done about it. We have to take them as is, like cars. We have to take the good, bad, and the ugly. We have to take them, flaws and all. When I think about a flaw, one word defines it: imperfection. A flaw is an imperfection. We're all imperfect. We're all guilty. We are now no longer under the dispensation of innocence. We started out with Genesis talking about that. But we're now in the dispensation of conscience, or the dispensation of guilt. We are now sinners, already sinners. And so we must understand that that is what a flaw is. Amen. A flaw is imperfection. What is the aim of our sermon? The aim of our sermon is for us to empathize with sinners, but never compromise with sin. Amen. Because we're all sinners, right? I mean, I can't have any empathy for a person who is pregnant, because I'm not a woman. I can't get pregnant. But my wife can. She can empathize. I can only sympathize. But when you're the same as the others, then you can empathize. So that's the goal for us to do. The aim is for us to, this purpose of this sermon is for us to empathize with sinners, but never compromise when it comes to sin. We may deal with that next week in the campaign. So all God can use are flawed people. And so as we think about that, we must recognize, I think about things that are flawed. I think about boxes that deliver packages. And these boxes carry damaged goods. They can still be used. They're damaged. They're flawed. They have, some pieces may be broken. The glass may be broken around the item that's in there some kind of way, or it may be scratched, or it may be cracked. But it's still good. It's good and bad. And it still can be used. And most people throw broken things away. But God uses broken things. Matter of fact, this is God's only option. And so we must understand, I think about boxes. Amen. I think about buildings, particularly the church house. When I was in Lynchburg, Virginia, I went by a church. They had this big sign on the marquee that said, "The perfect church for imperfect people." I mean, we are in here in the building, but we are flawed. Nobody in here perfect. And we are the perfect church for imperfect people. I think about believers in the church. Although the building is the church, this is using it in a dual sense. But the people are definitely flawed. You found out your pastor was flawed this past week. Had a very good meeting until the end of it, until I went off on everybody. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, I think that it's not strange that we are called saved sinners. We're not just saved. We're not just sinners. We're good and bad sinners. Amen. I wish we had. The truth is that is our identity. And so, without further ado, what we need to understand is that we know and we have dealt with Cain. He had some challenges, and we have those same challenges. We know that, you know, Cain was a farmer. He brought fruit, and Abel was the keeper of sheep, so he brought flock. And we all know or should know what happened. Amen. We all know or should know what happened. Amen. Cain's offering was rejected because Cain was a man who thought he could serve God his way. Amen. He didn't want to serve God the way God said. And when they brought their offering and God rejected the offering, they had to have previous instructions about what to do. So they both knew what kind of offering to bring. They already knew what kind of offering to bring. But Cain wanted to do it his way. Cain had his own way of doing things. You know, you got those Christians that make up their own rules. I mean, I can approve this and I can approve that. Is it in the Bible? No, it's not in the Bible, but I authorized it. Cain came up there with works. He didn't come up there with the word. You see, you got to get a word from God. You cannot put your faith in your own words. You cannot write your own religion. You cannot produce your own faith. God has already decided. When y'all bring the offerings in, this is the kind of offering I want. And Cain, he had nerve to get mad about it. But he brought an offering of works instead of bringing the word, God's revealed word versus religious works. Religious works are things that you do, your own homemade religion. You said, I'm going to heaven based on me earning my way. What does that mean? It means Cain's offering was, he brought of the fruit of the ground. His offering represented self-righteousness. I can do good enough to get in. I can be perfect. Oh, yeah. I can be right. I can do it on my own. I can earn my way into heaven. I don't have to do it the way God wants it. I can earn my way to heaven. His was that of self-righteousness. But the Bible says in Isaiah 64:4, he says, all of our righteousness are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Abel's offering was by faith. Hebrews 11:4 says, for by faith, Abel presented offered a better, a more excellent sacrifice, a more acceptable sacrifice to God. How did he do it? It was by faith. Faith is taking God at his word. God says, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. If God has not spoken, you can't have faith in it. No matter how much you believe in it, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You can't put faith in it until God says it. It has to be his revealed word. You cannot produce your own religion, your own way to heaven, your own way in to heaven. We cannot do that. But Cain had enough nerve to get mad about it. He said, your face in verse 6 is filled with rage. You're filled with rage. What are you mad about? Amen. And he said, your countenance has fallen and your face is filled with rage. Maybe he thought that God was just showing favoritism. You know, he got a few kids like that. I mean, why was he mad? I mean, just think about it. What was he mad about? If they have been received, if they have received exactly what God wanted them to do, if they have been already informed, instructed about what they should bring, why are you mad? Oh, Lord, have mercy. He could have been just felt that, you know, God is showing favoritism. Sometimes kids think parents show favoritism, but they don't. Most of them don't. Not a real Christian don't. A real Christian doesn't show favoritism. But actually what it is, church, is I think parents don't favor. It's not that they show favoritism. They don't favor humans. They favor holiness. They favor the fact that you want to do things right the way that they favor obedience. It's not about humans, it's about obedience. I favor the child that's doing what I told them to do. I'm not really favoring them. I'm leaning in that direction. But I love them both the same. But the obedient child, they kind of gets my attention a little bit. I kind of let them do a little bit, give them a little bit more freedom. Because I know they're going to do what I, they can be trusted. And that's what faith is. Faith is putting trust in God. Do you trust in God? In the Old Testament, you know, Abel by faith. How can you have faith in the Old Testament when the word is in the New Testament? Well, in the Old Testament is trust, although there's a nuance of difference. I won't go into today because I derailed the sermon. I'm already chased too many rabbits as it is. But Abel trusted in God's word. He took God at his word. He did what God told him to do, and his offering was accepted. And he really got killed for it. Because folk are jealous of folk who do things right and they don't do things wrong. If you don't do things wrong like them, they're going to get mad and start disliking you. Well, the fact of the matter is, brothers and sisters, God said, look, here's the challenge, Cain. If thou doest well, if you do what's right, in verse 7, shalt thou not be accepted. And if you don't do well, then sin lieth at the door. S-I-N, sin. That's that word. You see, we're living in a different world. Sin is in the world now. We are not just, it's a different world. It's not just, everybody ain't going to do what they're supposed to do. They got a messed up nature. We got a messed up nature. I'm talking about me too. Have I got a witness? It is because of the doctrine of original sin. St. Augustine talked about it. That's why some religious groups baptize babies, because they know that they're born sinners, so they better help them get them baptized because they believe in baptismal regeneration. I believe in baptismal regeneration, so I better get the baby baptized and make sure they don't go to hell. We don't believe that. We talked about that last year about the week of accountability, but age of accountability. But the truth is, because of the doctrine of original sin, man is totally depraved. That means, and how did he get totally depraved? Because totally depravity means that he knows good, but he's unable to do it. And he knows evil, but he's unable to resist it. And he'll do wrong every time. His works are not trustworthy, meritorious, or salvific in nature. They have no saving qualities, no redeeming qualities. And so man is depraved now. Sin is in the world. When did sin get in the world? Genesis 3:6, because he told him in 2:17 that you're going to die the day you eat thereof, and I'm going to move on here. In 3:6, he said, when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, Romans 5:12 says, for as by one man sin came into the world. Didn't come through the woman, because God holds the man responsible. Right. When she bit it, ain't nothing changed. Romans 5:12 says, as by one man sin entered the world. And when he bit it, everything changed. So when did the change occur? When did the doctrine of original sin occur? In chapter 3, verse 6, when she gave unto her husband and he listened to his wife instead of listening to God first. Have I got a witness? Amen. God. So that is what happened. Now, the truth is, my brothers and sisters, is that he was faced with that challenge. That challenge was that the reality that he's living in a different world, and because now man is a sinner, he doesn't have to become one. I wish I had a witness. That's why I asked that question. Was Abel a murderer before or after? Well, let's just let the word tell us. And we didn't get on the screen, but when you look at Matthew 15:19, it says that out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. I'm talking about Matthew 15:19. Evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, thefts, lying, a false witness, blasphemies. It said these things came out. It did not go in. So you are a murderer before. You don't murder to become a murderer. You murder because you are a murderer. You don't have to do anything to become a murderer. You're already a murderer. You murder because you're a murderer. You don't become a murderer after you murder. I'm already an adulterer. You are too. You already a fornicator. Because Jesus said, if a man has done it in his heart, and it is in the heart, the sinful, I already have a sinful nature. I don't have to be, I'm not a liar because I lie. I lie because I'm a liar. You see, I'm waiting on my, I'm trying to think. I got to do something to get bad. And so I don't have to do anything but be born. David said, I was born in sin. And I was shaping in iniquity. He said, now you got a sinful nature, Cain. You got to watch yourself now, Cain. Sin is waiting to mess you up. Well, let me move on. That was the challenge. And you're challenged every day you get up to deal with sin. You're challenged every day you get up to choose to do the right thing. He had a chance to make the right choice. And he chose to do different, and God confronted him about it. He said, what's wrong? He said, this is the challenge you have, son. If you do well, you will be accepted. Sound like he was giving him another chance. You got another chance, Cain. But Cain still didn't do nothing. He started denying it. He started, went out there, and next thing you know, Cain, nobody was raising Cain. And so since wasn't nobody raising Cain, Cain started raising Cain. Maybe missed a few church services, wouldn't come to church school, Sunday school, and he started raising. You know how we do? We just start getting hooked up with the wrong friends, with the wrong, listen to some cults, and next thing you know, Cain started raising Cain. Well, the fact of the matter is, his old sinful nature started directing his life. So Cain started raising Cain, and Cain got out there and got to raising Cain, and next thing you know, bam! What was in him came out. It's just like a sponge. If you squeeze it, you'll find out what's in it. And when you squeeze it, the only thing comes out. You know, you have to be squares real good. Somebody make you mad. Huh? Somebody lie on you, hurt your feelings. Huh? It comes out, doesn't it? It doesn't go in, it comes out. And you'll get hurt. I'll go off on you. You get me in the flesh. Have I got a witness? And the next thing you know, Cain had killed his mother's son. Now, why would you kill your mama's son? He killed Abel. Now, Abel is dead at the hand of his brother. Now, his brother was supposed to have been the covering. Leaders are coverers. God is the coverer. The father is the coverer. The oldest boy is the covering. The oldest is always responsible for the younger. And this means that in this cold, dark world, how many of y'all know you need a covering? You can't go out uncovered. Somebody got to be feeding into you and into your mind. Somebody has got to be guiding you. Somebody has got to be instructing you. You cannot go out into this world uncovered.